Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's wonderful to be back here. Some of you might recall my face from some prior visits. This is my third time here at Shofar East London, and I'm so blessed to be able to be here tonight and just to see the growth, the increase that the Lord has brought in this place. It's just really amazing, and I just want to give God praise for what He's busy doing here in Shofar East London. Let's just give the Lord an applause tonight. Amen. Truly is amazing. When we were here, I think the last time we were here, it was just over a year ago. About a year and 4 months ago. And I think there was about 15 people that we were, as a mission team, busy praying for. That was like the sum total of the church of Shofar East London. And just the tremendous increase that the Lord has brought, only by His grace. He's building this church. And each one of you are living stones in this house, and God is going to use you mightily to impact the city. The city needs this church to follow Jesus. The city needs this church to love Jesus. And it's so exciting for us to be here as a mission team. We are a 50-50 team from Shofar Tigerberg and the new Shofar Table View. We're the newest church plant of the Shofar group, the 22nd church plant, believe it or not. And right across the world. We are right on the other end of South Africa. And we are called Table View for good reason. From our church venue, you have to know your business if you're talking to the people there. Because behind the preacher man is glass windows and a panoramic view over Table Bay and Table Mountain. So most likely very easy to get distracted there. But the pastor is also reminded to remain humble as he brings the word, because behind the congregation is mirrors everywhere. So just as easy for the pastor to get distracted, you know, hair's out of place there, whatnot. We actually have church there in a boxing studio, but we know that the battle's not against flesh and blood, amen? But it's one in the spirit. Just like to pray for us before we continue. Lord, we just want to thank you for your presence here tonight. We are not here to meet with anyone, to come to hear any word, but to meet with you first and foremost, Lord. It's all about you, Lord, and we're here because we need you, and we acknowledge that tonight. We ask you, Lord, come and have your way in our lives, and we invite you, come and change us, come and transform us according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the mission team members, you guys have heard this one before. But I want you to laugh anyway, okay? You see, I'm not really a funny man. It just happens by accident now and then. But when I'm put on the spot and I've got to tell a joke, I can't remember jokes. And but humor is one of those things that one wants to work in a sermon. And the message I've got for you tonight, I feel, is a really important one. It's something that the Lord is definitely addressing and speaking to us about as Shofar on the whole. And I know that the message is coming through here at East London as well. And I'd just like to add my 5 cents worth what I believe the Lord is wanting you to hear tonight. I trust everyone will be blessed. So I'm just going to get the joke out of the way early on. Okay, so here goes. But maybe you've heard the story about the minister, obviously somewhere in America. It doesn't happen in South Africa. And he's just finished his message, and the people are getting up from their seats and making their way towards the back of the church building. And Shofar, we do church wherever. We understand that church is believers gathered together. They've got nice buildings there. The American dollar goes a long way. Anyway, so they're getting up, and the children have come from the nice children's church venue. You know you're in church planting when the children's church is just 5 meters away from the pulpit. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked in my joke even. Okay, so the minister's done his business, and there at the back of the hall, he sees a little girl, one of the favorite little girls there in the Sunday school. And he thought he's going to go over and just have some fun and tease her a little bit. So he goes over. She's busy waiting for her folks to finish up. And he goes down, and he bends down, and he says to her, "Now, what did you do in Sunday school this morning?" And she's standing there, and she's got this big little colored in picture and everything. And she says, "Well, teacher, told us about the story of Jonah and the big fish. And the pastor's looking at her and he says, "Do you believe that story?" And she says, "Yes, Pastor, it's in the Bible." And he thought, no, he's going to have some fun. "Do you really believe that a man can be swallowed by a big fish and come out whole and unscathed after 3 days? Land up there on the shore?" And she thinks for a moment and she says, "Well, I'll ask Jonah when I get to heaven." The pastor, you know, is getting very devious and he says, "No, but what if Jonah's not in heaven?" She thinks for a moment, "Well, then you can ask him." Okay.
Nou alle grappies op 'n stokkie.
What I want to tell you, just as an aside, this one is for free. You can believe in every word that stands in this book. This is a Bible, by the way. It's red, but it's a Bible. You can believe in the Bible from the very first verse. In fact, there are ministries that are dedicated to helping people get that revelation. There's massive, massive battle out there for your minds and for your faith. But you can stand on the Word of God. Amen. The message tonight, titled Grace Upon Grace Upon, guess what the next word would have been? Grace. That's our key word tonight. Give me a big grace. Grace. Hallelujah. Okay, we're charismatic here in East London. Amen. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 to 12. The first portion of scripture I'd like to share with us tonight. "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Now, it's very easy for us, especially for long-time Christians, to forget this concept, to forget this fact. You know, most of you would agree with me that for the most part, by far, the Christian life following Jesus is blessed. It is blessed. It is a life of joy and peace and love. It's a life of the favor of God on your life. It's a life where at any moment God can sovereignly intervene in some difficult situation that you're facing. We heard just tonight from Nico and Simona how God intervened there and made the impossible possible because nothing is impossible for him. This is the life that we as believers live. It's a higher existence that we're called to compared to before we knew Christ. And it's very easy for long-term Christians to start taking these things for granted. Amen. Where we're not quite as thankful for the peace that we experience when we go to bed at night than how we experienced it in the beginning, shortly after we committed our lives to Christ and first discovered that peace. Sometimes we forget. Here is a stark warning in the Word to God's people. It's so applicable to us to this day as well, that we must not forget where all these good things that we have, that we experience, that we've been given, come from. Comes from the Lord, certainly not from anything that we've done ourselves. Romans 5, verse 18 to 21 reads, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Grace means it was all God, nothing of ourselves. I don't know if you're a bit like me. I'm a sports fan, okay? I don't have DSTV, but I love visiting my parents over the weekend. they've got DSTV. And so I'll catch a rugby game or two if I'm lucky. And my dad's been blessed with a big screen as well, so it's just more that more much more pleasurable. But sportsmen, I love it. And, you know, a lot of people, they'll switch the TV off as soon as the final whistle goes. Win or lose, they'll switch off the TV. I love hanging around, and I tell people, you know, take the discussion out there if you're not going to be quiet here. I want to hear what the winners have to say. And I sit there with bated breath, hoping that somehow God will get some glory for what happened there. Even though it's my team, I love them, and they're doing so well. They go the Stormers. I would like to see God getting some of that glory, because He deserves all of the glory. And I don't know if you watched the movie. Man, I don't know what the name of the movie is, but it's a Brendan Fraser movie, and he gets like transformed into different people and whatever with some weird powers. Anyway, but now at the one point, he's like a basketball player. But he's like a monster. He's massive. And he wins this game single-handedly for the team that he's playing for. And afterwards, they interview him, and he's like, yeah, man, I was out there, and I just gave 110%. You know, there's no I in team. You know, I just left it all out there on the court. You know, just doing this drill that you so often hear on the TV. You know, fortunately, South African sportsmen, you know, a lot of them are there by the grace of God, and they know it, and they actually do give God some glory. So I enjoy that so much. But what that guy and what some sportsmen who are like him, what they're actually trying to say, you know, I was out there and I gave 110%. What he's actually saying is, man, I didn't even break out in a sweat. You know, there's no I in team, he says. What he's actually saying is, well, there is a me in team. Okay? He says, I left it all out there on the court. What he's actually saying is, man, I could go back there right now and whip them with my eyes closed. Okay, there's so much sort of pride out there, false humility. Pride is opposed to grace. God says He doesn't give grace to the proud. Now, grace, as we read in that scripture, should reign through righteousness. The righteousness that we have, we heard it tonight. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus. It's Jesus that paid the penalty, that satisfied the wrath of God, so that we could come into relationship with Him. We have been declared righteous. We are not righteous. We are not perfect or holy or pure. We cannot come close to God. If we did, outside of the blood of Jesus, we'd be destroyed like a moth coming to a flame. But we have been declared righteous because of what Jesus did at the cross. And it's that righteousness, the epitome of that, it's grace. It declares that it's all God. It's none of us. Nothing we did. Righteousness simply meaning right standing with God. Grace sums up what happened there at the cross. This is the complete package. This is the gift from God to us. Grace means undeserved, unmerited favor. Something we could not earn. No matter how hard you tried, you would never have got to heaven based on your own works. There are not enough old ladies to help across the road to earn your way into heaven. It is only the blood of Jesus which could get you there. You see, tonight we are talking about making it to the finish line and how we're going to get there. And the answer is grace. You can only sit here and claim to sit here tonight because of the grace of God can you be here. Nothing else. Not of your own works. If you're here and you think that somehow this is going to change God's attitude towards you, His love for you, or somehow earn you some kind of a brownie point with Him, then you're wrong. If you're here and you think that somehow this is going to help you to crawl across that line and get into heaven one day, then you're wrong. The only thing that will get us there is because of what Jesus did at the cross, a free gift, grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. You see, what you do with the cross determines where you spend an eternity. How you live after you make that decision determines how you spend an eternity. We're not going to get into that too much tonight. But God's grace for us, not only saving grace, what He did for us through Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't save you and then just leave you there until we meet again kind of a thing. No, He's there with us every step of the way. Only through His grace can we make it to the finish line. Through His grace. God doesn't do half measures. He doesn't do a half job. This was something that my father drilled into me when I had to take over the garden duties at home and so on when I was in school. And we're picking up the leaves, and we got two massive, well, there's loads of trees in the garden there and massive plane trees, and they mess come winter time. You know, and if there's still some leaves somewhere in a corner there, you know, my dad would be like shaking his head, you know, 50%. You know, if I ask you to do a job, you must finish the job. So he didn't have to tell that to me too many times before I made a point of, if I do something, I do it until it's klaar. Now God does something until it's klaar, finished, complete. Let me tell you, the work at the cross made provision for everything you need. It was a complete work. But God, even in His grace and mercy towards you today, He hasn't left you alone. You know, God is with you everywhere you go. You go to work Wednesday. If you're a teacher, you don't leave God in the parking lot there. You don't leave Him outside of the school hall. You don't only take Him into the staff meeting. There when the kids are rowdy in the classes, He's there with you. Wherever you work, you don't leave God outside the hospital, outside the office block. He's there right with you. All He wants from many of us is just to acknowledge that. He wants to be part of your life. He created you for friendship, for His enjoyment. So often we box Him out, we leave Him, we exclude Him. He wants to be included. He wants to be part of your joy, also your suffering, so that He can help you out of that. So many of us, we suffer too long because we've neglected to go to God for help. Matthew 18, verse 11 to 12 says, "The Son of Man came to save those which were lost. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying?" How many of you can identify with me and tell me a story of sometime after you already came to know the love of Christ where you strayed off the right path, outside of intimacy with God, and you went off on a tangent, off doing what you thought was right in your own eyes, and God came sovereignly and He brought you back. I can, my wife can. Shortly after we saved, both of us, our stories are quite similar, where we very much still did the wrong thing for some time until God sovereignly intervened and brought us into a church. Into a place of safety, into a place where we could be accountable, where we could be taught and grow in our understanding of Him. That was a sovereign move of His. I didn't go looking for it. God did it. It was His grace. And I believe many of you will be able to tell me similar stories. Backslidden, but God brought you back. What does God require from us? No works. He just requires our willingness, our availability. He wants your heart. Romans 6, verse 13 to 14 says, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace." Another scripture which could illustrate that point, Romans 12, verse 1 also. "Present yourselves as a living sacrifice." This is the will of God for us. God just wants us to know Him, to be with Him, to allow Him access into our lives, to realize that We cannot save ourselves. We cannot bring ourselves to a point of maturity. We cannot accomplish something that's going to make God go, wow. Or that's going to make him say, nee, Moses, gee jy pad. Hy verdien het om hier te kom sit langs my. No. It's only by God's grace. How does he help us? There's so many ways, but I just like to point out one major contributor. Like I said, you're not alone. And Jesus knew it, that we couldn't make it alone. So he even tells his disciples in so many words. He says in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Each of us have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit. Now you have received the Holy Spirit when you committed your life to Christ. We don't receive different measures of the Holy Spirit. You either have the Holy Spirit or you don't. And no one can declare that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. You see, none of us came to God and said, okay, now I'm ready. Now you can save me. We don't allow God to save us. He saves us and he gives us his Spirit at his appointed time. And so we have the Spirit of God. Jesus declares when he opens his public ministry, quoting from Isaiah 61 in Luke 4:18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me so I can preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, if Jesus had to so heavily rely on the Spirit of God, if he only started his public ministry after getting baptized and anointed, filled by the Spirit of God from top to toe, then how much more so should we, as mere and exclusive human beings, need to depend and rely on the Holy Spirit of God? You need the Holy Spirit. You need the greatest measure of the Holy Spirit to fulfill your calling that God has placed on your life. You see, there's two separate events, I'm not going to go into it into too much detail, that we experience with the Holy Spirit. First, where we receive the presence of the Holy Spirit upon committing our lives to Christ. And secondly, a separate event where we receive the fullness or the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like a place of being completely covered with the power of God. And the potential for the supernatural which comes into your life as you get baptized in the Holy Spirit to continue with the work that Jesus began. The miracles that Jesus did is not meant to be exclusive to him. He said, greater things will we do. There's so many of us all across the world that if we'd moved in accordance with the Spirit, that indeed we would accomplish so much more. Even that Jesus did, according to what he said. But you see, the church in many cases is paralyzed because we have failed to recognize this. We have failed to submit to God's word and to seize that opportunity. You see, when God predestined you, he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And he knows the special purpose for which he has created you for, your calling. To accomplish and fulfill that calling, which is the only way that you can experience significance in this life, you will need every gift that God makes available to you. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, when last have we functioned optimally in these gifts? Are we striving to function in these gifts? No. God just says, do the ABC right. The rest is all me. It's all grace. Just come and ask for it. Ask for it. If your earthly fathers, who are evil now to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Luke 11. You know, in 2005, my first outreach was to Malawi. And I was scared senseless before that outreach. I'd never been on an outreach before, and I kind of volunteered to facilitate, to lead the outreach, and it was quite a faith stretcher for me, and went up there across three borders with a team of 14 into the unknown, and encountered all sorts of challenges, from burst tires on a burst tire on our trailer, which almost flipped the bucky, and that was on a Sunday, and we couldn't get a spare wheel, and we were, you know, the schedule was pressing us and everything, and you'd drive 4 days solid to get there, and you know, there's, yeah, just crazy things that happened. We were delayed a little bit, obviously, by that, the Monday morning, so where we were meant to get close to the border of Mozambique, going through Zimbabwe, we only made it to Harare late that Monday evening. It was pitch dark. We had never been in Harare before. There's just traffic. We don't know where we're going to sleep that night, but it's so dangerous to travel there at night. It's just crazy, and the Lord just led us, for example, just to a church that was busy having a praise and worship evening. We heard them in the bus going past, and we stopped there, and we chatted to the pastor, and we could sleep there, and just God just provided every step of the way. Just the countless miracles, the healings. A man who had his sight recovered, planting a church in a Muslim village, which was completely closed and opposed to the gospel, where even the Muslim chief, just, you know, where he would allow us to show the Jesus film for three consecutive days in front of his house. Crazy stuff. And that church still standing today in a town called Makoli in the hills outside Mangochi. Just amazing things. Many demons being cast out. This is not anything that humans can do in their own strength. This is God at work through us. This is the grace of God manifest through our lives. Some of these things have happened to us as well. God's grace measured out to us. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. It's all God. But He's faithful. In Ephesians 1 verse 13, it says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You see, there's a protection from God that is available to us as believers. This is God's grace to us. As God's children, we are protected. We are safe in the palm of His hand. You can go and read in John 10. The enemy cannot touch you there. You see, as long as we remain in God's will for our lives, and we can only do that if we stay close to Him. And we don't have to worry, how am I going to have the power, the ability, the strength to do that, to obey Him, to stay close to Him? Don't worry about that. He gives you the power, the strength to follow Him. We just need to have that desire to stay close to Him, that willingness. He's not interested in your ability, just your availability. You stay close to Jesus. You know, the fishermen, they heard Jesus telling them to cast their nets on the other side, despite the fact that they were fishing all night, all sides. And when they listened to Jesus, the nets were full. So two boats were almost sinking full of the fish. They left those boats behind. Jesus said, "Follow me." They got out. They stayed close to Jesus. They didn't first say, "No, you know, let's first sell all of this fish so that we can go and do big things. You want some cash? We can get it." No, they knew the source was, and they stayed close. Same for you. You want to be successful in this life. You want to experience significance. I'm telling you, your source, the one you need to stay close to, is Jesus Christ. Don't worry how, who, what, or where. Jesus took uneducated fishermen, and they became world change agents. They ushered in a new age, the Church of Jesus Christ. Stay close to Jesus. There's a protection there. The Holy Spirit that was given to you, that's a promise, a down payment from God. It's a piece of God's glory at work inside of you. A promise that one day you'll be in God's full glory. That's something we can look forward to. You know, we don't have to ever go to bed sad, because we can know when we wake up in the morning, we're one day closer to meeting Jesus. Isn't that the best of all? I don't care if it's Monday. I'm happy to go to bed. Tomorrow when I wake up, I'm another 8 hours closer to seeing Jesus. Amen. If I don't really sleep 8 hours. I've got a 9-month-old baby. But you get the point. Now, Jesus also tells us himself through the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, that we need to come, and I'm not going to labor this too much, but in terms of the Holy Spirit, there's a place where we get baptized once, but then there's a continuous filling up, a topping up that we need as believers. Oil resembling the Holy Spirit almost exclusively throughout Scripture. There, the oil in the lanterns, and they were busy waiting for the bridegroom to come, and the foolish virgins weren't ready. They didn't have enough oil, and they missed out. They didn't fulfill that for which they were there. The wise virgins were topped up with oil. Read in, topped up with the Holy Spirit. Close to God. Moving in the Spirit. Sensitive to the voice of God. They could hear God because they were close to Him. You're not going to hear God if you're miles away. Stay close. Hear Him. You'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. So they were topped up. Some of us here tonight need to get topped up again with the Holy Spirit. We need to make that commitment to walk closer. Now, I do a bit of sport as well, a bit of cycling here and there. And I must say, I often find it's a big help, an energy booster. You know, you get these goo sachets or these hammer strength, or, you know, you get many different types. And it just gives you a booster. But they designed it in such a way that it's only going to last 45 minutes, so you need to buy like 3 sachets. Okay. But it's like that. Sometimes we're running on low. That energy, the fuel tanks say, amper op leeg. And, you know, there was a few times as the devil led us into the outback of South Africa on our way here, missing a turn to Hubertina, you know, and we were running on fumes, man. But there, in the wilderness, an oasis called, I don't know what was the name of that place. I don't know if it has a name, but there was a little garage, you know. And sometimes we need a top up. Sometimes maybe you're here tonight and you feel, in terms of your relationship with God, you're just running on fumes. You need a top up. You need one of these. Courtesy of Len. Okay. Thank you, Len. Who wants one of these? Hey, there you go. Okay, get a top up. Often I would say, I can almost guarantee that our reputations are not a true reflection of our character. God is interested in what's inside. We need to work on our character. We cannot do it in our own strength. It is the working of the Holy Spirit inside of us that's going to transform us, that's going to make us more Christ-like. That's going to help bring us to this place of maturity. You know, we all share that common purpose to become more like Christ. Beyond that, we have unique and individual callings because we all meet a different group set of people in our lives, and the Lord wants us to impact them. That's why you're still here. You need to walk closer for God, to God, so that the rest of East London can come to know the love of Christ. That's why you're still here. That's why we're not raptured immediately. We need to be God conscious, Christ centered, and Holy Spirit fueled. I thought I'll throw that in there. It sounds like an Andreanism. Am I right? Andre likes wearing these slogans and it blesses us. Amen? I remember them from Tigerberg. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3 said, if we were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We need to take stock every so often, actually on a daily basis. Am I still focused? And when I say focus, I don't mean anything else other than, am I still focused on Christ? Am I still focused on my God-given mandate? Am I still aware of where my strength comes from? Am I still relying 100% on God and not on my own abilities? Otherwise, I'm missing it. I want to tell you tonight that you cannot overcome your challenges outside the grace of God. And for someone here tonight, your challenge that you're going through right now has been God ordained, designed by God to bring you closer to Him. Like my cycling coach when I was young told me, "Gaan maar deur al is het seer." God has got a purpose, a redemptive purpose behind this challenge. You just need to stay focused on Jesus. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. You cannot get your spiritual breakthrough that you're trusting for by somehow earning it or deserving it. It's only by the grace of God. One word from God can transform you. That's God's grace to you. Rely on Him. Also, just a warning that as a church, we've just been hearing time and again, and that's that the letter kills. Legalism, striving, trying to earn things. This is an appearance of wisdom, an appearance of godliness. You know, but what is its substance? In reality, it is powerless and it can do nothing to add to the completed work of Jesus Christ. We need to start getting a greater revelation. God is ministering to us at this time about His grace. That this is all that we can glory or boast in, the cross of Jesus Christ, nothing of ourselves. Like John the Baptist said, that He may increase in me. Less of me, more of Him. This must be our heart. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 to 24 says, "May the God of peace sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and will also do it." You see, salvation, healing, deliverance, it is all a process. It begins with a step of obedience. As God saves us, as He comes into our lives, it begins there. But you're not made perfect in an instant. Your spirit comes alive, but your soul, your mind, your cognitive, your will, your intellect, this takes some transformation. It's a process. It takes time. You cannot handle it all at once. None of us can. And God is bringing us to this place of maturity. He's bringing us to a place of perfection and holiness, but it will take our whole lives. And we'll be ultimately glorified, made perfect in an instant when we come face to face with Him again. Hallelujah. But He's faithful. He will do it every step of the way. Don't you run ahead in presumption. Don't you try and have the attitude that you can somehow earn something or deserve it or work harder. So many of us in the church, and we recognize it so often, is, you know, and we come out of a culture that is success driven and that's goal orientated, and it's just targets left, right, and center, and it's condemnation if you don't make the targets, and we bring it into our spirituality, into our relationship with God, and we just keep striving and trying. And I just want to tell you tonight, you cannot do anything to earn the love of God. You cannot do anything in your own strength or ability to fulfill the calling or the mandate that He's given you. It's going to be all Jesus. Only Him. You know that ad? I love that ad. Okay, I don't partake of the beverages with the alcohol content, but I enjoy the Vintuk Lager ads. Okay, now that's just God's grace to me, as He delivered me from alcoholism, was something I struggled with. But what's that guy's name? Anyway, so I just know Quinton, because I can't forget Dave, right? So Quinton gets a flat tire in his Subaru there, and he comes around the car. You know the ad, okay? And he sees the flat tire. He's, "Ah, you know, what a lass." And but he gets a smirk on his face and flips open his Samsung, and then he's about to call roadside assistance when Dave rocks up. What you doing, Quentin? Who are you calling? Your mama? You don't call roadside assistance for a flat tire. Yeah. Be a man. Do it yourself. Now, I spoke of flat tire on the way to Malawi. The church was kind enough to equip a very fancy Toyota Quantum with run flats. You know what run flats are? Okay, so run flats, we won't even stop like Quentin if we get a puncture. We don't even bother to call roadside assistance. We just keep right on driving. Okay? This is like God's grace to us. He has told us you need to get to East London. You know, and challenge and storm and whatever can come, come what may, we ain't going to stop because we got run flats. We got the grace of God. We will make it. Long as you stay close to Jesus, I guarantee you'll make it. You'll make it to the finish line. And I just want to say again, you don't get a naughty badge because you didn't do anything to deserve getting to that finish line. It was all Him. What do we call that? Grace. Amen. Philippians 2 verse 13, one of my most frequently used scriptures in 2007 and 2008. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God who works in you, He will even change your heart. He will even change your attitude. God is good. God is thorough. He's a God of detail. He doesn't miss the big picture. I once listened to a very gifted apologist called Dr. John Patrick, Professor John Patrick. And he actually mentioned, you know, he does seminars around the world, but he actually mentioned that it took a few days after he realized that God saved him a few days before that. And it was just how this is revelation started coming of the grace of God at work in him. You see that, just that realization, that revelation that he did nothing to somehow deserve it or to contribute to that process. It was all God. He only realized it a few days later what had happened, that he had just stepped out of darkness into light, that he had just stepped out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Grace. See, we need to look unto Jesus. He's the author. He knows the end from the beginning. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows how it's going to end. He's the author. He's also the one who's going to get you there. He's the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12 verse 2. And just one more scripture before I ask the worship team to please come up. Colossians 1 verse 21 to 22. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. We were enemies of God before we got saved, before God saved us. For all of us, it's different however many years it took for us to come to that place where we step into relationship with God. But before we did, we were enemies of God. We were evil in every respect, believe it or not. Every thought that we thought was wicked and evil and contrary to God's perfect will for our lives. You see, God is perfect. Sin means missing the mark. It's a bullseye in a bullseye in a bullseye, something we cannot hit ever. And before we came to know God, we didn't even know where that bullseye was. You know, if you want to make sure that you're going to miss a target, then you just got to aim anywhere. You'll miss it. And that's what we did before we came to know God. But God brought us out of that place so that all of us can sit here tonight and say, but by the grace of God, I've been saved. I've been declared righteous, declared perfect. Now I can come into the presence of a perfect God and not be destroyed. And it's not because of anything I did. Out of my own, in my own capacity, I was wicked, sinful from the very beginning. We're not called sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. That's what we were. Now God transformed us, declaring us righteous. Now we have a new nature. Our spirit man has come alive to God. And it's all by His grace. We have been saved by the grace of God. We are growing in our relationship with Him, getting healed and delivered from all kinds of oppressions and wounds only by His grace. And this weekend, even spending amazing time with some of you here tonight, even over the Foundation 3, the Legacy course, and just witnessing God coming and touching lives, bringing healing, bringing restoration, bringing truth, which brings freedom. Not because of anything that they did or deserved. We are recipients of God's grace. Praise God for that. You know, we were on a youth outing a couple of years back with the youth in Tigerberg. And we went to Ratunga Junction. I love going on the youth outings, and I can also ride the cobra and monkey falls and the other things that make you want to throw up. But I recall at lunchtime break, which I was quite grateful for, then they've got like this communal food court, and you can sit there, and there's normally an offensive clown that comes and tries to entertain you. But I remember just looking across and seeing Maggie, the chipmunk, walking across there, someone in a big chipmunk suit. And this chipmunk had about 4 bodyguards, because a lot of the young kids like to go and punch the chipmunk. But anyway, so there was Maggie. And then out of the corner of my eye, I caught this, probably must be a 4-year-old little girl. And I could just sense that she has a lot of hurt in her life and brokenness, and probably not going that well at home. But she was eyeing Maggie the chipmunk with just this like bewilderment in her eyes and just absolute wonder, this chipmunk, this giant chipmunk. And I just saw her hesitating. I could see she wanted to go up to Maggie. But I saw her hesitating, and I just feel that some of us are like that. And we see God at a distance, and we're here with our brokenness, and we're hesitant. We're not sure how He's going to respond. Our reality up to this point has been that we reach out to someone when we're in need, and we get it thrown back in our face. It's just insults upon injury, and just people hurting us with their words, and just being crushed in our spirits time and again, just being put down every time. This is the reality, because we are not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect parent or sibling or boyfriend or husband. And we start withdrawing. We find it hard to trust people with our hurt. And then we project that onto our impression of God and our relationship with God. And we start holding back. And we start trying to forget the hurt and the pain. But it's still there. It still niggles. It's not resolved. It hasn't been healed. It's going to take your loving Father in heaven to heal. And you're holding back. And I saw this little girl hesitating. But then just a flash of boldness and courage, And she just dropped what she had in her hands and she ran up to Maggie the chipmunk and just almost from behind just went and gave her this hug. And Maggie just turned around and just hugged this little girl. Probably for longer than a minute, just stood there hugging this girl. And my heart just broke. I just knew this girl hasn't experienced this kind of attention or affection or approval from anyone close by for a long time, probably. And this is what God wants to do for us. He wants you to know that He'll give you all the attention you ever want. Actually, it's us that neglect Him. He wants you to know that He's madly in love with you. He likes you. He likes your little quirks and the things that maybe irritate some other people close to you. He likes you. He made you a certain way. He approves of you. Just like He said to His own Son, "My beloved Son, I'm well pleased in you." He's saying that to you here tonight as well. And He invites you. Don't be put off by the bodyguards or what you perceive as bodyguards. Just run straight through and just fall into the open arms of the living God who just wants to love on you. This is God's grace to you. He will take you through the worst storm. You will not sink. He will carry you through. Doesn't matter what the circumstances. Some of you are going through massive challenges, maybe the biggest of your life right now, and you don't know how you're going to get through. It's just black in front of you. You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I want to tell you that God is with you, and that you will make it through. You just stay close to God. You know, I'd like us to stand together and we're going to sing Amazing Grace. And then I'm going to just invite you in a moment or two just to respond. Let's first just sing together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing. Has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my share and portion be. These are as life endures. My chains are gone. Yeah. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing
Romans 10 verse 11 says that whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Some of us are so afraid to come to God, we're unable to trust Him with our deepest emotional needs. We're unable to trust Him for eternal salvation. We were reminded tonight that whoever believes on Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we just find it hard to believe in His goodness, to believe that He loves us, that He's in control, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He will hold us in the palm of His hand, just continuously love on us and protect us and nurture us until we come into His full glory. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you tonight. God will not humiliate you. He will not hurt you. He will not put you down. You will not be put to shame. He will save whosoever calls on His name. Maybe you don't know this God of glory. Maybe you don't know this loving Father. You don't have an intimate relationship with Him tonight. You're outside of this grace. You don't know the favor of God on your life. You haven't experienced His sovereign intervention saving you from sure disaster. You have not surrendered to His life. The life that He has for you. I want to invite you, just as the band continues playing, and we're just going to continue singing as well, I want you to come and stand on my left. If you tonight want to commit your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to receive His full portion of grace for you, if you want to encounter the saving grace of God, and you want to partner with Him, and experience His grace on a daily basis, I want to invite you, just come forward as the band continues to sing. I'll pray with you afterwards. And the team, please come forward as well. We want to serve you guys tonight and agree with you in prayer. We want to trust God to bless you with a word that will just set you that much more on God's course for your life. Especially if you feel, well, you've strayed a bit from that path. We want to agree with you tonight. We want to pray over you and bless you tonight. And I want to encourage you to come forward, especially if you want to respond to something that the Holy Spirit impressed on your heart as you sat here tonight. Especially if you're struggling with that striving mentality. You feel you just need to earn God's attention, affection, or approval. I want to tell you that we need to pray together. We need to pray and just trust God that He would give you a greater revelation of His grace. That is not up to you. It's up to Him. And He's paid the price already. If you want to get out of striving, I want you to come and stand on my right tonight as we continue singing. And the facilitators are going to come up now and they're going to be ready to pray with you. You can just tell them why you've come forward and they're going to pray with you. Also, anyone who's sick here, anyone who's struggling with pain in your body, some kind of sickness or infirmity, I want you to come forward as well. We want to pray for you, and we trust God's grace, the completed work of Christ. By His stripes, you have healing available to you. And we want to pray for healing here tonight as well. Healing doesn't just happen in Malawi on outreach. It happens in Lavenders in East London. Amen. It happens at home. When you're crying out to God, it can happen anywhere because God is with you. And it's God who does the work. When you're coming forward, you're not coming to get prayed for by a team. You're coming to meet with Jesus. You're coming to get a touch from God. It's only God. And then also, I mentioned the Holy Spirit tonight and the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to have that supernatural life that God has called you to, that is destined for every believer, not just a select few. if you want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit so that you can be a blessing to this city. If you want to experience God, His power through you. If you have not asked for Jesus to baptize you in the Spirit yet, then I want you to come forward as well. And we will pray with you for that as well. Don't leave here tonight with an unanswered invitation. God is here and He will meet every need in this place. There's nothing too hard for Him. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's just sing that chorus again. And as we sing, I want you to come forward. Come forward. God wants to touch you tonight. But He's a gentleman. He'll only come by invitation. Amen. God bless you.